My privilege to welcome back to the pulpit because he's been here before, and we appreciated his ministry then and invited him back. Dr. Milo Thompson, former pastor, former president of Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and now president and lead preacher with Crossway Ministries, a ministry to churches, helping churches to get back their cutting edge of ministry and to build and grow again. Brother Milo, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a privilege for Jackie, my wife, and I to be able to be here again. And we enjoyed ourselves in the previous hour and are looking forward to sharing with you in the remaining moments here from the Word. I want to add my word of congratulations and best wishes to all the mothers here as well. And trust that God is going to give you just a super day with your family and celebrating the privilege that God gave to you of being a mother. And I know represented probably in a congregation of this size are mothers who have had a glorious experience and other mothers that are facing significant challenges. And I just want to let you know we love each one of you and are thankful for you. I'm going to steer your attention to Luke chapter 2 if you want to begin to turn there. And I want you to pay attention to a lady that is the name of Anna. And we're going to look at her life and see if we can pull out of it what does God expect from a godly mother, and does she represent that? I'm sure that if we had lots of time here, we could have microphones and you could get up and share a meaningful impression that you have in your memory bank of your mother. And I'm amazed how I read in the lives of many well-known people how significant the impact of their mother was in their life. For example, Daniel Webster, who was a great English person using the English language, he ascribed his masterful use of English to his mother's teaching. Evangelist and educator D.L. Moody said that everything that he ever accomplished in life, he attributed to his mother. It was his mother who had such a significant impact in his life. Missionary Robert Moffat testified that it was his mother's influence that led him to become a missionary. Pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who served in England many years ago, London, he said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn words of my good mother." He then went on to tell of her faithful Bible teaching to her children and her fervent prayers in behalf of her family and her children. So wherever we turn, it's very obvious, and you mothers may think you don't have much impact, but I want you to be encouraged. You're having probably far more impact than you realize in the lives of your family members, and particularly your children. And I just want to let you know that it's a very special thing for us to be able to honor you as a mother today. Here's something I saw that I thought you might be interested in. Does mom need a thank you, a word of encouragement, or a raise, or all three? On salary.com, they've established that the average mother works 92 hours a week. She's engaged in multitasking. She has, if she were to receive appropriate wages for those labors, it would equal to $138,000 annual salary. Don't you wish you had all of that, Mom? Mother, we just thank you for all that you do. You, probably most of you, are trying to emulate what we read about in Proverbs 31, and that is awesome. Let me read about Anna's life, and then we're just going to pull out a few quick things. in the next 10 minutes here that we have. And so in Luke 2, verse 36, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Think about Anna. The name Anna or Hannah, likewise used in the Bible, means grace. Obviously, that points to salvation, which is by grace, as well as a characteristic of life, a person characterized by grace in their life. Anna stated that she was a prophetess. What in the world does that mean? In the Old Testament, there were 6 different women that it designated had been prophets in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have primarily 1 reference to the fact that women functioned in the role of a prophet. And Philip's 4 unmarried daughters in Acts chapter 21. Now, why was Anna called a prophetess? We don't really know for sure. Perhaps she was the wife of a prophet for those 7 years that they were married. Perhaps she was continuously engaged in praising God, celebrating and praising God. Perhaps she had the function of teaching that would be looked upon as a prophet in the New Testament. In any event, we're not really quite sure all that that meant, the word that she was a prophetess. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, a prophet was primarily a foreteller of the Word of God, understanding God's will and his message and sharing that with other people. Very few entered into the role of foretelling, of telling the future. And when the New Testament was complete, then that office also ceased in our understanding of the New Testament. Furthermore, Anna had now reached the age of 84. To reach the age of 84, there's 2 different thoughts on the fact that she was 84. Number one, that she had been a widow for 84 years. That to me does not seem realistic, because in those days, most women married when they were 14 years old. So if you take 14, add to that 7 years of marriage, and then you add to that 84 years of being a widow, that would make her 105 years old. And I'm not sure she would be as active and so on at 105 years old as she's depicted in the text. So I sooner think what it's really talking about is that she was 84 years of age. And that fits better in my understanding of what the text is talking about. She had been married for 7 years when her husband died. And we don't know a lot about that marriage. We don't know a lot about her husband. And we don't know, furthermore, whether she had children during those 7 years. We do know that the Israelite culture placed great value upon childbearing. And most likely, every woman desired to have children. That was a very real part of her life and her understanding of God's design for her life. In fact, you can remember some of the Old Testament stories of women who were pleading with God to open their wombs and allow them to have children. She came out of that culture and came out of probably those aspirations. So we can't really fully conjecture with confidence that she had children, but very likely she did have children. And Anna demonstrates the characteristics of a pattern saint, a follower of Christ, as well as being a pattern wife and a pattern mother. And therefore, there are some things I want you to take away with you this morning that sort of flesh out the idea that she was godly. She was a wonderful person who walked with the Lord. So what are those? Number one, she had a committed and consistent walk with the Lord. Verse 37 said, she did not depart from the temple. That does not mean she was in the temple all of the time. Sometimes we use similar phrases, and we might say, church, I live there. And you don't really live there all the time, and you're not taking up your abode in the church. It just means that you're heavily engaged in what the church is doing. Probably that's what it's talking about here with Anna as well, that it's really hyperbole, in other words, that's not literally so, that she always was in the temple and never departed from the temple, as if she never went outside the temple. I don't think that's what it's really trying to say at all. It's hyperbole, meaning that she spent a great deal of time at the temple and depicting her commitment and her consistency of walk with the Lord. In other words, she finished well. As a mother, she not only had periods when she was doing well in her walk with the Lord, but she finished well also. Furthermore, in fact, other people in the Bible were similar. Timothy's mother and grandmother that we read about or heard about here this morning earlier. And they, in spite of many challenging circumstances, think about Timothy's parents. It's very likely that his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. It's very likely that he was not unsaved. And she was functioning much like a single mother in the raising of Timothy. And any single mothers here this morning ought to take heart in that tremendous illustration of it can be done. And you can raise another generation of godliness. And God will help you to be able to do that in spite of the tough days and the tough times, functioning with some of the roles that some mothers have to fulfill in. Second thing that I want for you to get is a faithful worker. She was very engaged in serving the Lord. It said primarily she gave herself to fasting and prayers night and day. Every mother that is going to be godly is going to be punctuating her life with various ways that she serves the Lord and is going to be found faithful. She's not using any excuses about all the demands in her life, but she has become very faithful to the Lord in serving Him in multitudes of ways. And even in the raising of her children, she's found faithful and obedient. And, you know, we have people in the Bible that in spite of their obedience, in spite of the character of their walk with God, had a child that did not walk with God. Take Eve, who was a wonderful person in the book of Genesis, a great person with interest and intimacy with God. And yet, she had a son, Cain, that chose to go a different way than what she lived and her faithfulness. And there were many others. God even depicts the same thing. Throughout the Old Testament, he refers to Israel as his child. God had a child that was errant. God had a child that chose a different way than the way he lived. You can take Christ. Judas was one of his. And yet Judas chose not to walk in the ways that Christ Jesus was walking in. So that can be very challenging for a faithful mother. And I know some of the verses that some people refer to, raise up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. I don't think that's talking about the direction of life in the sense that if you teach them biblical principles, they're going to live them. What I think that verse is talking about, God has wired every child in a way that they are intellectually, giftedness, And you cannot make them go in a different way than that. They are going to go on in the way God has wired them. I think that's what that verse is really saying. So don't take upon yourself as a mother that you have failed because your child did not walk in the way that you thought they ought to walk or that you thought would please God if they would walk in that way. If you have been faithful and you have lived a consistent life with the Lord, teaching and working with your children, there may be a child here and there that will not live like they should be living. And that's their responsibility. They will stand before God someday. One of the other areas that can be very challenging for a faithful mother might be a husband who's not saved. And hounding him, pestering him, is not going to win him. In fact, in Peter, it says that when you have a set of circumstances like that, you should continue to live in your life in a way that is going to honor God and let God work. Let God become the conscience. Let God be the one who is going to draw. And he can do a far better job. Anyway, God allows mothers to see some awesome things come from their life, their teaching, their works for God. Okay, the next one is a worshiper of the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. I think a great impact in the lives of our children is a mother who is filled with celebration of God, who is continually praising God, thanking God, recognizing who God is in her life and in their lives. In other words, she is a woman who is filled with worship of God. Not just Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but all through the week, all through the day, day and night. She is characterized with wonderful worship of the Lord. And next and finally, she's a decided witness. In verse 38, she spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. And all the Jews were looking for redemption. And here she is speaking of Jesus. She is a decided witness for the Lord, sharing with her mouth and life who Jesus is. And every one of you mothers has that opportunity beyond your family to be a decided witness for Christ. I know some ladies in Florida, elderly ladies who have osteoporosis. And they went to a seminar at the local university for 3 days on appropriate exercise for people with osteoporosis. And then in their church, they started an exercise group. The first week, they had 35 people show up to take these exercises, and nobody knew any of them. And they began every week to get into the lives of these 35 people, which grew to be more, and they have wonderful opportunities to be a witness. Those ladies really creatively found ways to meet a felt need and to be able to be a witness in the lives of these people. Also, there's a lady that lives in Florida who does not even have to leave her home. And she has developed a website on the internet, wherein she's a witness to other people. Listen to this. She gets 100,000 hits a month on her website. That is 100,000 people coming to her website every month, and there are 1,000 people professing Christ as Savior every month from her home. I mean, there's all kinds of creative things that you as a mother can do that may not take a lot of your time if you're busy with younger children. And you may have teaching abilities, and you can start a small group for only unsaved women to attend. I know a lady who does this regularly, and there are a lot of people coming to Christ in her ministry. And I could keep going talking about the wonderful opportunities you have to use your giftedness, your passion, your creativity as a mother to reach out beyond your children and reach other people and be a decided witness for Christ and for His glory. Well, there are four things that are depicted in Anna's life that I hope you will take with you and that you will realize, as Abraham Lincoln did, no man is poor who has had a godly mother. I applaud you, godly mothers, and hope that this will characterize you and you will finish like Anna, with longevity, finish well. Father, we pray that you would encourage the hearts of our mothers. We salute them today and thank you for what you have done in their hearts and lives. And Father, help them to maximize their opportunities spiritually and in every way, that they may grow to be all that you want them to become. And Father, that they will make a powerful impact in this world. And we will rejoice. Give them a wonderful day today with their families, and might they feel accepted and loved and encouraged. In Christ's name, amen.